Do the definition of words matter? In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." The next time you hear someone talking about Jesus, why not ask them, "And what Jesus are you talking about?" When they say, "The Spirit is at work," have the boldness to ask, "Of which Spirit are you speaking?" When someone refers to the gospel, the kind and loving thing would be to ask them, "To which gospel are you referring?" You may receive a puzzled look, but better be puzzled than to miss the truth. Isn't it better that our acquaintances be disturbed in their minds with some straightforward questions than to let them go on deceived in a false hope? Paul wrote the Corinthians, "There is another Jesus being preached. There is another spirit being received. And there is another gospel which people are accepting, which is not the true." So how important are the definitions of words, and how subtle is the difference many times between truth and error? Let me give you three examples here. First of all, the scriptures teach that God is absolutely sovereign and that nothing exists but what he ordains. You can read that in John chapter 1 and verse 3. Many will say only that God is sovereign and he knows. Not that he ordains, but that he knows ahead of time what will happen. Well, there's a vast difference between those two statements. Either God has ordained all things, or, as some say, he just knows ahead of time what will happen, but doesn't really have any control. God's sovereignty, dear friend, is who he is and what he does according to his sovereign purpose. It's not just what he knows will happen. If anything can happen outside of his will, then he's not God. Now, here's a second example of the subtle difference sometimes between words. The scriptures teach that God chose from all eternity those sinners he will save in Christ. You can read this in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Now, many will say God chose to save sinners, or God has chosen a plan to save sinners. But then they'll argue vehemently against him having actually chosen those he will save. There's a vast difference. Some will admit to a master plan in salvation, but not to the master who has planned and chosen his people that he will save. And thirdly, the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed unto the Father everyone for whom he died. Read John 6:37 through 39. But so many will only say that the Lord Jesus Christ provided salvation for everyone for whom he died. But again, there's a world of difference between providing and redeeming. Provisions are perishable. Redemption is sure. A redemption provided may be overlooked, but a redemption procured is sure, eternal, and saving in nature. Given one answer, the truth is not merely redemption provided, but redemption accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ.